Okay. Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio. Also, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Deezer, iTunes, Apple, Google, everywhere you listen to podcasts. This is the Dark Mark Show. I'm Dark Mark. My co-host is looking at me strangely. I don't know what's going on. It's everybody's favorite vegan heavy metal DJ with some new ink.
With some new ink.
Yeah. Hannah Bach.
Hi, guys.
She just took off her shirt and was like, just had like all this new ink. And I'm like, did you get some new ink?
And she hasn't even put it back on yet.
No. Yeah. No, that's all for you. Yeah. That's
it's definitely not for me.
I know. Yes. Anyway, so Hannah, I hope you're. It's been about a week and a half since we had the most disjointed show in podcast history.
Yeah, but we were
with Rotten Kitty and Ahmed El Kadri.
Hey, when Rotten Kitty's there, it's always a good time, though.
No, it was a good time, but it was weird and disjointed. We'll see how this goes. But one of our guests that we had that when I talked to him, I'm like, Hannah would love this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you've always wanted to be a horror movie actress.
I did.
Meet the most, actually, now that James Brown is dead, the hardest working man in show business. Because he's got how many
movies? Everybody's looking at me.
How many movies did you put out this year? Or have you put out this year?
It's somewhere around 8 or 9.
Okay, wow. You put out 8 or 9 movies this year and a couple rap videos. Did you do an album, a whole album?
Yeah, I've had 2 EPs this year and I have an album coming out on my birthday.
And when's your birthday?
October 16th. But the album's probably going to be like delayed a day or two.
Oh, well, happy birthday.
Happy early birthday.
Thank you.
Is that Scorpio? What is that?
I'm Libra.
Yep.
Oh, Libra. Both my parents are Libra. By the way, that's Dustin Ferguson we're talking to.
Thank you.
We've had him on before. The director of Robo-Woman.
Yes.
Meat Hook Massacre 1-5.
Yes,
Sleepaway Camp 4 and all sorts of other great things. Nemesis 5.
Mm-hmm.
We're just talking.
Just
about
came out to DVD not too long ago.
Yeah, because your agent was just telling me he actually paid money for it and he doesn't want his money back. He likes it. And we have apparently one of your new actors that you've been working with a lot.
Yeah,
and this guy already intriguing story. I've been reading about you.
Oh yeah.
And by the way, since I think I see why he's become one of your ensemble because he's quite a hunky guy. It's a good looking.
Don't
guy.
Tell him that though.
Hannah,
why would my
Hannah, you're into guys and I'm not. And Dustin's pleading the fifth.
I agree.
What do you think?
I saw him roll up on his motorcycle with his flannel and I was like, ooh, we got a Jack Stellar look. Then I saw him walking over.
Oh,
yay,
wow.
He does it on purpose.
Him.
That's Eric Reingrover, everybody. Hey. He is the alpha male in this room, that's for sure. But before we get started,
I am a man's man.
Yes. I don't know. I don't know what man I am for, but Audible.
Oh, Audible.
Yeah, men like to read. And men like to listen to audiobooks. You guys are on the road. You guys are doing stuff.
All the time.
I just got back from Portland. I listened to a couple of audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to audibletrial.com/DMS, one more time, audibletrial.com/DMS, any book you want, anything you want. Now, if you want to be a filmmaker, I know they got tons of books.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
About and for filmmakers. I know they've, from Roger Corman and Lloyd Kaufman to Martin Scorsese books, David Lynch books,
Make Your Own Damn
Spielberg.
Movie
books. Yeah, did you read that?
I have, of course, I have.
Is that did you read that before you made movies or after you did?
It was actually kind of long after, but it hit on a lot of the points for sure.
Well, there you go. You can get that, but not only that, you can get 2 Audible originals in addition to the book. Now, nice. Alien 3. What do you think of it?
Alien 3.
Yes. The David Fincher movie, Alien 3.
Alien 3. Actually, I love Alien 3.
Okay.
I like Alien 1 and Alien 3 the best.
Okay. Well, did you know that cyberpunk writer William Gibson wrote a script for Alien 3 that wasn't used?
I did not know that.
So Audible got Lance Henriksen, Michael Biehn, and other people in the cast to act that out.
Oh, that's really
so it's an alternative Alien 3. That's free if you go to audibletrial.com/DMS. You get a book, you get that, and another Audible original. They have a... Actually, other continuations of the Alien saga, one that has the late Rutger Hauer doing a voice, one that has Stalker Channing doing a voice. John Waters narrates a sci-fi novel. Stan Lee's last work was out for Audible. They got everything.
I bet that'd be really interesting.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they've got another sci-fi book narrated by Zachary Quinto. Kate McKinnon has a play that she did with her sister. I'm sure it's hilarious. I love her. Whatever you want. They've got everything from Shakespeare to smut. I'll take it.
Shakespeare to Smut. That sounds like a good movie.
Audible trial. I'm sure they have something with Shakespeare and Smut.
Yes, say Shakespeare Smut.
The Erotic Adventures of Shakespeare, I'm sure, is I'm on, sure on there or something. BBW, Hot Tail with who knows?
But, Hot Tail.
Audibletrial.com/TMS. Do me some cooking. What do you think of that, Hannah?
It's my cheat day. Oh, place to go.
Oh, yeah. The cheat day, when you have a cheat day. Are you guys vegan? I know no. You guys are going to change.
No,
yeah.
No.
So, yeah, you look like a meat eater.
I see. Yeah, I'm a beef
and you
guy.
Look like a meat eater in a different way. But
whoa, what was that supposed to be?
I'm kidding. Come on.
Whatever. I own it.
He's like, okay, it's
you're
true.
Dirty what D, it, come on.
What am I going to say?
No, but are you vegan? Are you a vegetarian? Are you?
I eat white meat, but I do cheat and have pork once in a while.
Okay. This place, it doesn't matter.
Right.
I eat more meat than anybody in this room, I'm sure. I love it.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, they have pulled pork sandwiches, vegan.
Ooh,
they have Big Macs in the secret menu, vegan. Shrimp po' boys, Philly cheesesteaks, fried chicken. They put a wood stick, like the bone, for a drumstick. Fun fries,
and actually the waiter made me a special sandwich.
Oh, really?
He made me a spicy chicken sandwich, but he dipped it in the barbecue, not barbecue sauce,
the buffalo sauce
for me, and fried it up with cheese and bacon.
Oh, nice. Now, that sounds good.
What are fun fries? Is that what you said there?
You can get fun fries. Mm-hmm. You can get chili cheese fries, buffalo fries.
The regular potatoes with stuff on them?
Yes. Garlic vegan
fries.
Stuff.
So good.
Bacon cheese fries. I swear if I put them in front of you, you'd scarf them and be like, they're delicious. They're vegan. Really? That's everything.
Couldn't even taste the difference.
Let's just come so far.
Come so far. And Phil Doomy has always been ahead of the curve. 1253 Vine Street, awesome. Right on the corner of Fountain Vine, right next to the M Bar, where the M Bar used to be. There's a store in Culver City, and they have brunch. And there's another restaurant.
Brunch on the weekends
in Toronto, Canada.
What are we doing after this? Let's go eat.
That's what I'm going to do.
I'll bet you in Canada they have vegan poutine or something.
They
like
have
that.
A lot of good things, actually, in Canada when it comes to vegan. They do a lot of the testing. They start there before they even hit America.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. So those are our sponsors. Now, it's October.
It's the best month of the year.
It's the most wonderful time
Always.
Of the year.
October for forever.
Oh, and before, one more thing. I want to thank Golden Artist Entertainment, Dante, Rebecca, Brittany, everybody there, Harvey's Comedy Club. The Portland Comedy Festival was just so much fun.
And congratulations on that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it was great. And I might. It looks like I might be returning there to do a Halloween show at Harvey's.
Nice.
So we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. But whether I do or not, it was a great experience. I met so many great and cool, funny people. These are some cool and funny people right here.
I can tell.
Yeah. Dustin, L.A. Sharp. Now, where we left off, Robo Woman was just about to come out with our friend Donnie Lee Heising. And you were filming, you were preparing L.A. Shark Attack.
Okay.
It was February.
That sort of helps the mindset.
It was February. Yeah, because
you
do 9 movies a year. This is amazing.
Because when did we do Moon of the Blood Beast?
Was that March, I think, or something?
Yeah.
I don't think that was even a blip on the radar.
It wasn't. That happened spontaneously. It just happened within a month.
Now, what is Moon of the Blood Beast? Let's start there.
I like the title.
Okay. So around that time, I got hired by Troma to work on Grindsploitation 8. And what I ended up doing is filming the wraparound and editing it. And then we also did this fake trailer for a movie called Moon of the Blood Beast. That was my segment for it.
Okay.
And everybody loved the title. They're just like, oh my God, you should make that a movie. So we did. So I was just a month later, I talked to Trummel. I was like, if I make this, will you distribute it? They're like, hell yeah. So we went and made it. That was the first thing I did with Eric.
Because I could see you doing Trummel stuff. Now, this wasn't the first time you worked with Trummel.
No, it's been a couple of years I've been working for them. And they have several, around 10 of my titles right now.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. I love Trummel.
I do too. They're great. It's a great company to go with because a lot of people watch their stuff. So.
Yeah. And they have, don't they have a streaming app now with Troma?
Yes, which is a lot of where that is. It's Troma Now. So you can just look up Troma Now on Google and you'll find it.
Because I know they do a lot of wraparound anthology things.
Yeah. They kind of invented that Grindsploitation series, which is really cool because it involves filmmakers from all around the world to do segments that are grindhouse style.
Right.
So they're all
Define grindhouse because this is a word I'd never heard of until 5 years ago when they came out with the movie.
Okay, Grindhouse, the meaning comes from theaters that used to grind out movies on like a nonstop basis on 42nd Street in New York. So there are theaters that were just open 24 hours. You could just pay a few bucks and just stay as long as you could possibly stand it. People would have sex in there. Floors would be sticky. They'd play X-rated movies, imports from Europe. And it was just grinding them out. And the companies were doing the same thing with the production. They were pumping out these movies on a low budget really fast.
Right.
So these places that played them were grind houses.
Okay.
So today, that style, when filmmakers make a sort of like 70s or 80s nostalgic looked, you know, kind of grainy looking movie that looks like it's cheap and kind of harkens back to that old decade, that's Grindhouse.
Okay. So you did so kind of like the movie Grindhouse where they did Machete and it became a movie.
Yeah, yeah. So Grindsploitation would be like an anthology version of that where there's a bunch of short things like that all in one thing.
And they like Moon of the Blood Beast and you did it.
Yeah, yeah. So we made it.
See,
a movie.
This is the way he makes movies. Like, he just thinks of an idea.
Yeah.
And you, how's your writing process? How long does it take you to write something like Moon and the Blood Beast?
I wrote that in like 2 days.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was fast.
But it's like mostly attack scenes. The movie, because again, it's Grindhouse. It's like 70s, so it's a killer animal, well, killer creature movie. So a lot of the attack scenes are like done in like red tinted POVs,
right?
You know, with like the freaky synth music and stuff. And then it's sort of structured around like a death scene. Like a death scene will happen that will move the plot a little further, where it's like the cops investigating the deaths and covering it up. And then we go to another death scene. So Eric was like, you were fishing in that one? You were like a drunk fishing or something? And he got a big scratch across his face and died. So.
Oh, You died from a scratch?
But it was like the bloody scratch.
Yeah.
I mean,
come on,
you know, whatever.
You ripped half my face off.
I'm kidding.
Oh, nice.
Okay, no, Eric has an unusual, when I say he's got an unusual story, and probably looking at him, it doesn't surprise you. You used to be a police officer.
Actually, I was a correctional officer. I used to work for the Department of Corrections.
Oh, even worse.
I worked at the infamous Chino, like you've heard on Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I used to work at Chino. It's about, you know, 50 more miles inland or something.
No, trust me, Yeah, I got some homies over there. But I think everybody's got a homie in Chino somewhere.
Right.
But so that's even more hardcore than being a cop, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, you always have to watch your back. You know, those guys have 24/7 to learn basically how to mess with you, you know.
Right. How to make weapons and
one day you're going to walk in, next thing you're going to get like 32 holes in your neck or something. Yeah. You pissed the wrong guy off.
So. Right. So how do you deal with that? That's scarier than any horror movie, I would think.
It is, but you just, I don't know, I kind of ignored it. I just walked in every day, oh, hey, what's going on?
Right.
Just continue my normal day.
Now, this is an indelicate question, but you know me, I'm the master of that.
Sure.
Like, because, you know, you got, everybody segregates.
Yeah.
So being a white correctional officer, do like the white guys and the Aryans kind of like try to buddy up to you?
Try, but it doesn't take, because I like my job. I don't want to be on the inside.
Right.
So, yeah, I get hit up for...
Or did all of them do it?
All of them kind of did, actually, because I was what they called a sick relief. So I would call in every night for dudes who had called out sick for the next day. So I was kind of just a jack of all trades. I'd work here one day, there one day.
So you're kind of like the substitute teacher.
Pretty much,
yeah.
And I would have all different types of races asking me, hey, can you bring in peanut butter? Can you call this person for me on the outside and this, that? And of course, you always tell them no, because that's against the rules.
Yeah.
So, but it was honestly, they're human beings too. You know what I mean? Right. They just got caught up doing whatever it is that they're doing, and that's the way I treated them. I can just safely say too, the best thing, you know, we have all of our equipment that we carry, you know, pepper spray, baton.
Sure.
Out of the whole 10 years that I did it, I never once had to use any of them.
That's great.
Because I could just talk to them. They're, like I said, they're human beings, you know.
Well, what was the roughest?
The roughest was like the riot. I mean, like that, I think it was 2009 or whatever, that the riot was on television. You know, they burned down like half of the West Yard that was out there. I actually used to work at Kern Valley State Prison that was it's in Delano above Bakersfield.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a level 4 supermax. And I went through like 3 different riots up there.
Wow.
Very, very scary stuff. Gas grenades and bomb stuff going off and impact munitions and all that kind of stuff.
So, I mean, how do you handle that? You just, I mean...
I don't know.
I
had a rough childhood growing up, honestly. So, like... emergency situations don't bother me that much.
Okay.
You know what I mean? If someone's out in the street fighting or whatever, it's instinctual for me to, like, if I see a woman getting mugged or something like that, my instinct is not to stand there and be like, oh, my God, you know, I'm going to call the police. Of course, who doesn't?
Right.
But my instinct is to, like, run up and, like, grab that dude and just throw him to the ground and hold him there and be like, what the hell are you doing? You know?
Right, right.
So. He's very much a protector. He's actually been very good in standing up for me in situations, too.
Yeah.
He's
really great. Yeah.
Well, what happened?
What I do gets a lot of haters, you know. And absolutely. So Eric's always had my back.
I don't like bullies.
Well, fuck that.
I'm with you on that.
I don't like bullies because I, believe it or not, I'm 6'3", 240 pounds. I picked up the weights.
Right.
In
and not 240 pounds like I'm 240 pounds. That's solid muscle right there.
I picked up the weights in high school because I got tired of getting bullied all the time. And I was like one of those tallest guys too. You know, I was really lanky or whatever. So they were like, oh, let's pick on that guy. He's the biggest one here.
Where'd you grow up?
Ontario, Ranch Cucamonga area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, by Ontario Airport.
Right. Because I know you grew up in a small town in Alaska.
Yeah.
And Dustin grew up in Nebraska.
Ugh.
I feel the same way about Alaska.
Well, my father-in-law works there, actually.
What part?
He's a crab fisherman, so he goes out of Dutch Harbor and all that kind of
stuff.
I'm
from Ketchikan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he delivers to Ketchikan all the time. Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, now we're bonding.
My wife was born.
Took 5 minutes.
Oh, cool.
She was born in Washington, but she lived lived in Alaska for a couple of years while he crab fished.
Oh, there we go.
That's great. Cool. But yeah, so you're a correctional officer, and have you always wanted to be an actor?
Kind of, yeah. I did a lot of like little stage stuff in elementary, junior high kind of stuff.
Right.
But I stopped. You know, I was just like, meh, you know. And then. Yeah.
But you played roles recently, kind of like that, like on SEAL Team.
Yeah. The role is a Dev Guru Alpha team. We're basically a featured background right behind all the principal actors.
Right.
SEAL team. I do a lot of cop stuff.
Yeah.
Go figure.
You have the cop
role. Yeah, go figure. But, military stuff.
And, yeah, cop and military. I can see it. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you know, there's other cops. You know, like Dez Farina is the most famous example.
Mm-hmm.
Cop that went into acting. And I guess, you know, to be a prison guard or a cop, there has to be some acting involved.
Yeah, pretty much, because you're different. You know, you got like thousands of people around, and each single one of those people are different. So
right, so you
got
to.
Yeah, once I got out, I was medically retired. I took a fall down some wet steps, and I have foot long scar on my back. I had a double spinal fusion, so I got medically retired. So I got to be really careful with what I do with acting for stunts and stuff like that. Let them know, hey,
he'll probably show you the scar before the end of the night.
I can't wait.
I'm
glad you're aware of the scar. Like, you wouldn't have
it would happen under the blue. He's like, I got the scar. It's like, cool.
Did it ever come into play like in one of the movies?
No, but it will in the future.
Because
I've been thinking about
LA Shark Attack. He didn't use the scar.
No, it didn't really play into his role. He didn't die in that movie.
Like a slasher or something, you know?
That'd
be cool. See, I see the wheels turning now. You're like,
with a machete.
I know. I'm going to exploit your scar.
Yes. Yeah, let's use it to my advantage.
This is the director of the entire Meat Hook Massacre series.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which we just had the Meat Hook Massacre final chapter, right?
Yes, that just came out a couple months ago in June.
Right, so this is kind of Texas Chainsaw Massacre with a meat hook.
It's 3 on a Meat Hook meets Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Okay.
Very cool. What was your first horror film you've ever watched as a kid?
The original Texas Chainsaw. No, that was the first one I bought. The very first one I ever watched was Day of the Triffids and Alice Sweet Alice on the same day.
Nice. I remember Texas Chainsaw Massacre when I was a kid. My mom would tease me, and she's like, you know, it was a true story.
Oh, everybody thinks
we used
that,
to go through Texas, you know. We used to stop and get barbecue when I was a kid, and I think I ate at somebody. You know, but then I, like, you know, I got in high school. I'm like, oh, it was like Ed Gein stuff, based off of that.
Exactly.
And a lot of people, they don't like the one with Matthew McConaughey.
That's my favorite one.
We talked about this last
time. I was going to say, this is familiar.
See, you missed this one because we talked about that. The one with Matthew McConaughey is great.
He's so great in that. I love him.
Best performance. But because in the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, they have the narration by John Larroquette, which is very serious.
Yeah.
This is a true story, and people really still think it is.
Yeah.
But. I mean, you know, probably more true than stuff they say that now is based on a true story, because, I mean, it was based on a true story, just not in Texas, and there's some other things they added.
Did you ever want to do, like, maybe kind of like a prom night type of slasher film, like 80s?
All the stuff is very 80s.
Features that are all horror.
Wow.
So I've done I haven't specifically done prom. Okay, but this is interesting because just like 2 nights ago, I turned on TV and the original prom night was on.
It
was on during my favorite scene, which I'm sure everybody knows about, the dance scene in the disco club. Come on.
Yeah.
So after watching that, I'm like, oh, I gotta make a prom night movie now. It's so cool.
Because that's, like, going to be my Halloween costume this year, because I just went on, like, a whole entire binge of the prom nights on, like, Tubi and Fandango.
Yeah, totally.
So
yeah.
How
many prom nights
have
there been?
There's 4 and a remake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I know the remake. And I
3
know
and 4 are pretty
Hello,
bad.
Mary Lou, prom night 2.
Yeah, and 1 and 2 are, like, the best.
Yeah.
The remake's not bad. 3 and 4, they're all kind of...
What do you think about the Carrie, the Rage, the Carrie, you know, that came
out... Carrie 2?
Came out in the 2000s.
I thought it wasn't bad. Doesn't it have... I'm thinking of the other Carrie. With May in it.
No. Speaking of May, have you seen the movie May?
Duh.
Oh, it's awesome.
I know.
Love that movie. Love those kind of movies. Yeah, me totally. Too. Yeah. Oh, but, Ginger Snaps.
Yeah. Totally,
yeah.
All three.
Oh, yeah.
So, no, but his movies he's done. You're talking about everybody else's movies. He's done. I gotta get your IMDb page up because you've done.
Oh my goodness. You
did Silent Night. Was it Silent Night?
Bloody Night.
Bloody Night Two.
Yeah. Two. In 2015.
Which
with Jennifer Runyon Corman.
Any relation to Roger Corman?
Or? Yeah, it's his niece.
Oh, okay, is that what?
And
it is?
She was in. What's the big one she's known for? Ghostbusters, duh. She's the one. she's having that psychic test with the guy, and he's getting them all wrong. And he gets them right, and he keeps getting buzzed, and she's getting them all wrong, and he's letting her pass. She's right. The hot blonde chick at the beginning.
Okay.
Oh, I remember her.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I got to get your IMDb page up. It was just on the there's so many.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's so many. But here's what was funny, because I love that you did the Robo-Woman, which mm-hmm. I haven't seen yet, but I can't wait. And you're prepping Robo Woman 2, from what I can understand, or are you?
Although, yeah, I'm licensing them off like I did with Mia Hookmaster, so it's probably gonna be a different director, but I'm gonna be producing it.
Oh, okay. Here, she's Googled everything. Look at this.
I already had it up.
Look at you.
Oh, really?
We got the Amityville Legacy.
Yes.
So you've done two Amityville movies.
Yep, that are coming out soon from Wild Eye.
Yeah.
So they're not out yet. They're not out yet. Or...
They were released originally, then they bought them and changed the titles and shot some new footage.
See, look at these. These all look like 80s horror movies. Camp Blood 5.
Straight up, like,
you love
stuff
these.
I love.
Demon
yeah.
Dolls.
Yeah.
A Taste of Phobia. Yeah. What's A Taste of Phobia?
That was one I was hired to do with 13 international directors.
Wow.
So it's anthology. My segment, they're all based on different phobias. And so mine is mesophobia, which is the fear of getting lost.
Oh, I get that.
I used to, be terrified about, getting lost when I was traveling. So it's about this Hispanic guy that's traveling through middle America. And he's lost, and he has to stop at a hick bar to ask for directions. And this hillbilly gives him a ride because he's having car trouble and ends up kidnapping him to try and kill him. But then the tables are turned.
Oh, you know, I always think about those movies. I went to the Clown Motel last year, and the girls and I, we took a road trip, and all those movies are just playing in my head. I'm like, something's going to happen. Going to happen.
Totally. Place like that.
Yeah.
Now, how did you get the nickname Jesus Satan? That's what I want to know.
Okay, so there was this movie I did in 2013 called Doll Killer. And it was it kind of had this viral campaign where we were advertising that it was this fake story where I had traveled to Mexico and obtained this lost horror movie that was never released from this dead director's wife. And she had contacted me to put it back together. It was like in work print form. So the director that had died, his name was Jesus Satan.
Right.
So I directed the movie under that name. And so that's what's on my IMDb. And someone put it on there that nickname is Jesus Satan. So literally in every interview, everyone's like, Sal, your nickname's Jesus Satan. I'm like, no.
Okay. Well, now we've cleared it up.
I mean, it was cool back then, but that was already like 6 years ago. I'm like, no.
Okay. All right. No longer Jesus Satan. So I still haven't seen Horn Dog's Beach Party. I can't wait. Let's see here.
That's my one comedy movie.
No, I know.
It's a beach comedy, like 80s beach comedy.
Right.
Those are fun.
Right.
Totally fun.
So, we got Amityville Evil Never Dies, 12 Slaves of Christmas, The Dummy 2.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you do The Dummy 1?
Dummy 1's from 1993 from Todd Jason Cook, and he hired me to do part 2.
Nine of the Clown. Now, why do people think clowns are scary? I've never
figured that out. For obvious reasons. You don't know what's behind the
makeup. What's the obvious reason?
You don't know what's behind the makeup.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
It could be anybody.
You know, I have a reason why I didn't like clowns, but I love clown movies like The Terrifier. It's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, totally.
When I was little, I thought they were stupid. I went to the circus for my first time. I was in the front row, and everybody's clapping, and I'm probably 4. And I just kind of look at the clowns like, you guys are dumb. One comes up to me and just starts slapping my hands together for me, and it hurts so bad. And that's my bone I have.
Well, yeah, if a clown abuses you like that,
I
don't want to be near it.
Yeah, it's such a particular situation. That sucks.
I just remember these guys, they aren't funny, but now I do comedy and makeup, so what are you going to do? But what's your favorite horror movie, Eric?
I laugh my ass off at, oh my God, what is it? Paranormal Activity.
You think it's funny?
Yeah, I think it's funny as hell.
Yeah, just the first one or all of them?
I think it was the first one, because that's the one where the camera's in where that girl gets drug out of the bed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then she gets, the door closes or whatever, and the door comes flying open, and she just goes flying right into the camera. I walk right by it. I was watching parts of segments of it, whatever, and I just see her, and I'm like, oh my God, whoop, there. She goes screaming. I thought it was funny as hell.
Wasn't that added? I think they
was an original ending. The test audience.
Yeah. The test audiences didn't like it, so they
They need to stop doing that.
They made screw test audiences. It probably cost more money to do that scene than the rest of the movie combined.
Yeah. It was totally.
And that scene was terrible. And then when you saw the original ending, you're like, oh, the original ending's kind of creepy.
Uh huh. Kind of, yeah.
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 But yeah, I'm not. Have you done found footage, Dustin?
Mm hmm.
Yeah, because I don't know.
I just did Aliens in LA that comes out next month. Finally. Oh. We did that like over a year ago.
Aliens in LA. Tell us about that.
Okay, so you know like Mondo movies from like the 70s, like Mondo Kane and Faces of Death. It's like that, but with aliens. So it's interviews with people that have like seen stuff, and we do reenactments, and we have fake found footage.
Ah, awesome.
So we do this like whole thing where this like professor introduces this like video clip or whatever, and it was Ronnie. I don't know if you know Ronnie and Ken May.
Yeah, you know
both of them. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, they're like buddies that are camping and everything, and in the middle of the night, they hear noises, and they're abducted by aliens. And it was actually really elaborately done in the same woods we filmed Axe Grinder 2 at. And we have, you know, we do it like from the point of view, like they're all filming it themselves, and then they get attacked, so we have these lights that were flashing everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then we did like a drone shot lifting up in the air, like they got picked up at the end, and then it just like cuts to black.
Oh, wow.
Alien movies are scary.
Yeah.
Like Fire in the Sky.
Yeah.
Well, like,
yeah.
Me.
Well, duh. Classic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Communion.
I never saw Communion, but...
That was based on a true story too. It was like
I remember. I think I read the book.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
it was a big book. It's like Christopher Walken gets abducted by aliens. Mm-hmm. He's already an alien. I don't get that.
Something about the era, like the late 80s, early 90s, like the approach, like the unsolved mysteries kind of tone. It's so scary.
But you were talking about Faces of Death. Now that's
I remember that.
The kids don't know. That was
pre-internet. That's how you saw the freaky stuff.
You know, I remember I was in the video store, and the guy told me that most of it was fake.
It is.
Yeah.
It's hilarious because if you actually watch them, they're completely not what people think. The first one came out in like 1978, and it's legit just like a documentary, like a boring documentary about like death customs in different parts of the world. There's really nothing offensive or gross in it other than like some slaughterhouse footage or something. But then because that was such a cult grindhouse hit, they got commissioned. It was made actually for the Japanese market. It was shot as a movie called Junk, and then it was released in America as Faces of Death.
Wow.
So then they started doing sequels, Junk 2 and Junk 3, and then those got released here, but they were all fake. They're like, let's amp it up and make it go crazy. So with each one, by the time Part 4 came out, it was on 100% fake, and that's my favorite one because it's super campy and ridiculous, you know? And it's really offensive now because it has, like, you know, an Asian family preparing a dog for dinner.
Oh, I remember that.
And it's just like, are you serious? But it's, like, clearly a stuffed animal, you know? It's just super bad, but it's so awesome at the same time.
But that's what kept video stores in business, man.
Yeah.
People loved that. They
were always rented out, you know, and people would steal them all the time because you couldn't get them anywhere else.
Because you didn't know Dustin before he moved to L.A. He opened a video store in Nebraska.
That's how I moved out here. I sold my video store.
I used to work in a video store as a teenager.
That's so awesome.
Yeah.
They're my jam.
Yes. So, Eric, not only have you been in his movies, but you were in Homeland.
Yep.
As a military guy, I'm assuming?
Military officer, yep.
So that was...
Go figure.
That's your biggest credit, I would think, so far, right?
Actually, my biggest credit so far is playing Freddie Palmer in Axe Grinder 2.
Yeah,
he's the killer. Oh, that's right.
Oh,
I did
that one, and then...
And I did see you in some makeup there.
It's like a Jekyll. Yeah. A jester. Yeah, jester.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to scare you in Axe Grinder 2.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
I come climbing.
He did really good. He's pretty intense on it.
I can see, you can ramp up the intensity when you want.
Oh yeah,
I see you're like a cool guy, chill guy, but you don't want to fuck with you if you want to push your buttons, you're like, okay.
I like to. I read. I forgot the name of the book. Part. Forgive me.
It's probably an audibletrial.com.
It was an acting book.
Of course it is.
I forgot the name of the acting book, but as soon as I picked it up, when my manager gave it to me, like within 10 pages, I was hooked, and it was just about tapping into those different feelings when you do it, you know. And it's kind of easier for me because working in corrections, we had to deal with people who are mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of watching them every day, I can mimic a lot of things. Like I used to do a lot of Jim Carrey mimics.
Sure.
You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, let's see that. Come on.
What? Which one?
Do Jim Carrey. I want to see this.
All right. Let's see. hold on. Let's see. Hold on. I'm trying to get it. Hold on.
Sorry. Everybody has their own process. Go right ahead.
Just put me in, coach. Just give me one more chance.
That's pretty good. Speaking of movies that don't play anymore, I was watching that one.
Yeah.
And it was like, I did the whole when he kisses Sean Young.
What movie is that from?
Righty then. From Ace Ventura.
Oh, Ventura. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When he kisses Sean Young, he finds out it's a guy, and he starts like plunging his mouth and stuff.
Yeah.
It's,
it's
hilarious. Yeah. I'm laughing, but I'm like, oh, this is.
They've been playing on AMC like gangbusters right now. Yeah. So it's been like.
But if it came out now, people would be like, wait a second, you can't do that.
Uh huh.
Nowadays.
I know some of the verbiage they use. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
No good. No good.
And Schwarzenegger, I can see you doing that.
I want to hear that.
Get to the chopper.
You see, you need no preparation for that.
He's like,
that was awesome.
I think I got that.
Yeah, so it's, and yeah, I don't know why Schwarzenegger has not made a comeback. I don't get it.
He's doing another Terminator.
Yeah, he's going to
be. And he's a silver fox.
I'm saying, like, the movies that he's done since he came back, some of them have been good,
yeah.
But they're not playing.
He's been busy with the nanny and all that stuff, you know.
Well, I
know. Being the governor's all.
No, but I mean, he did some movies with Stallone. He did like, but he just like he did a zombie movie.
I didn't really care for that one too much.
I don't like zombie movies now. It's not like Return of the Night of the Living Dead Part 3. Yeah. It's one of the most romantic movies ever. Yes.
Favorite.
Does everybody ever watch Night of the Comet? Back in the 80s.
With Kelly Maroney.
Yeah. I freaking love that film. I used to get a bowl of ice cream with my dad. I think that one was one of my scariest horror films.
Right.
To answer your question. Okay. Yeah.
That's a really underrated movie.
Yeah. I think that one scared the living you know what out of me because it's like I lay there with my dad and whatnot. And then he'd be like, okay, movie's over. Hey, time to go to bed. It's like, oh, shit.
Oh.
And then I just remember that plumber guy in the very beginning that, like, he was like trying to open the door, whatever. He takes that big old pipe wrench, whatever, and just cracks a dude. Right. And you see his face just. To this day, I still see it.
I hear you.
I would take that over my childhood. I'd have to go to bed right before the X-Files started. And
X-Files
in Alaska.
Was so scary.
Yeah, I had my
she had
window.
Her own X-Files
in the back of the woods. And my stepdad would be like, ooh, they're going to get you. And I had to sleep with a bat. And then he turned the theme music up as I was sleeping.
Which was really good.
She made her own Harley Quinn out of everything.
Yeah.
And I could top that because. Probably the scare. I still say the scariest movie for me was the Invasion of Body Snatchers from the 70s.
That's like the best remake. That and the Thing remake.
Yes,
both the best remakes.
Yes, yes. But I saw that and it creeped me. The dog with all that.
Yeah, some crazy effects.
And so we went. I saw that when I was like a little kid, maybe 7 or 8. And we go to the bed. My mom's like, okay. And my sister and I are in bed. They're like, okay, good night. And it comes back 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
I shit my pants. It was like, thanks, Mom. It was so scary. So how did you end up working with Dustin? How did this happen?
I actually met Dustin through my buddy Mike. Mike, shout out. Big shout out. Big Mike. He called me and said, hey, I found – I think he was –
I hadn't worked with him yet.
No,
I met
yeah.
him first, but then I worked with you first.
Right. So he was – my buddy Mike called me and said, hey, dude, like there's this really good – horror film director that actually lives by us out in our area. And he was like, hey, send him a friend request on Messenger and on Facebook or whatever and see if maybe, he'll give you a shot or something.
And by the way, Hannah, I don't think they're that far away from you.
Oh.
What area do you live in?
Redondo.
I live in Marietta.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which is Spectacula.
It's like 60
I go out there every weekend to get tattooed. That's where my tattoo artist is.
Oh.
Nice. I'll be out there Friday.
In a movie.
Is that what you call him?
Yeah.
Her tattoo artist.
Yeah.
That's Woody. Yes.
Good cover, Woody.
The younger man.
The younger man who is strictly its professional.
I'm sure it is. So, so you guys are out in Marietta and around Temecula, and so how do you count? So you have
I just
on Facebook?
Reached out to him on Messenger and said, hey, my name's this such and so. I'm a good friend of my friend Mike, and here's a headshot and resume.
And we were just talking about his looks, so it's kind of like, well, I do need a hot guy, so fine.
but it's got to. I mean, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you cast, but it's not just. I mean. It's not that.
But obviously,
guy.
He had the skills.
He's got skills, but he's got.
Mike had recommended
it. It's not. You're a good-looking guy, but it's not a pretty boy guy. You're a guy.
I'm scruff.
You have substance and you have a good personality.
I mean, there's some prettiness there, but it's a rugged handsome.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. He plays it up well.
Yes. Oh, is that what it is?
Yes.
Listen to them.
I mean, what are you looking for when you're casting?
Me.
Besides him.
I am big on loyalty, people that I can trust, because in this industry, it's really tough. Mm-hmm. You run into a lot of crazies. And so people that usually it's through the grapevine, like Mike Ferguson had recommended him, and mm-hmm. I trusted Mike.
Right.
And so I always start everybody out small, and that's exactly what happened with Eric. Eric yep. had a bit part in Moon of the Blood Beast.
Yeah, he was a drunk fishing guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He had a slightly bigger role in L.A. Shark Attack as mm-hmm. like a sort of a minor supporting character.
Okay.
And then he ended up being the killer in Axe Grinder 2. Yeah. Basically in that order. And so mm-hmm. like I'll try someone out this, like in a little small part, and if they're like crazy or right. we just ain't working well together, that's it.
Yep.
But they're awesome, they'll come back in the next one. And
that's what happened with Donnelly Heising.
She yeah, kinda... she actually flew out to Nebraska, was in Mihook Massacre 2, the first right. thing I ever did. And then she was immediately in my Amityville movie, and then we just worked together all the time.
Right. And I was when I saw on your Facebook, there's like a Nintendo game for Robo Woman now?
Yeah, and Mihook Massacre, and one's coming out for LA Shark Attack.
Yes.
No, fun.
I know a guy.
Yeah, how do you do that?
A guy, okay, so I think he used to work for a company out of China that makes Nintendo games. And right. so he has access to the carts and all the manufacturing parts. And so he can actually do the programming. So he programs them on a chip and legit puts them in the Nintendo cart and you can play it on the system.
That's great.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. they're made in like a limited edition, you know, because of the parts are kind of scarce. So each time we've had a run of like 20 games. So we're out of print on Robo Woman and Meat Hook Massacre, but LA Shark Attack comes out in like 2 months.
Oh, nice. And you played those?
Yeah, of course I own them.
I'm you know, because so what's play cool. Myself.
Well, what's cool is you can get those retro gen systems now that they sell at like Walmart. They're $20 to play like right. the Nintendo games, the Super Nintendo games. Mm-hmm. So it's not hard to play them, really.
Oh, really? They work on those too?
Yeah, yeah, of course. Like, yeah, they're legit. Like they're shaped in. They're a Nintendo game. So anything that plays a Nintendo game.
Oh
yeah.
Wow! Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the old cartridge, you know, big
yeah,
old
comes yeah, in yeah, a box
yeah.
and everything.
Yeah. No, I remember. I remember. Yep. Yeah.
I was so poor. I had an Atari. Okay, that was like. Gifted
I had an Atari until my uncle cut the cord, but then my dad got me a Nintendo for my birthday.
Aww.
We were so poor. We didn't get a Nintendo. We got like when the Nintendo first came out. Bam! We got into the store and got like 5 or 6 games. We were so poor that we had to wait until Nintendo 64. With everything in between. That's how poor we were.
Aww, yeah. I had Sega Genesis, please.
That was a Sega person.
I wanted one.
After the original Nintendo, I was all Sega. Too.
Yeah.
Couldn't afford it.
Damn,
so we would go rent the games. We would go to like our local video store and rent like Tecmo Bowl and stuff like that.
Yeah, everybody loves Super Tecmo Bowl.
We were so poor, we rented VHS players
yeah,
from
the
VCR. I remember that. Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You can rent the system, the video game systems, too. I used to rent a Sega Saturn from Blockbuster all the time, yeah. like in 95.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I think there's like one Blockbuster still open.
There is. Yeah, it's in Oregon.
Yeah.
It's yeah. good for, I'm glad.
There was one in Alaska.
They destroyed the video store industry. And what's interesting is now that they're gone, these indie mom-pop places are coming back.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're sort of saying last time, do you think like vinyl VHS is going to be a big?
And it already is since the last time. There's more. That wasn't that Vidiot's that's in LA that's like coming back.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's the real famous place. They just there was.
I remember
Vidiot's,
but I don't know if.
Yeah, it was a big article about how they're reopening.
Oh wow, that's great.
Yeah,
I noticed that because I go to all the horror conventions, all the Monster mm-hmm. Paloozas. I'm at every one of them. They
oh yeah, tell
VHS
us about Monster
players.
Palooza.
Yeah. Oh, they're great. We went to Monster Palooza, Son of Monster Palooza, and Midsummer Scream's my favorite.
I haven't been booked there yet. But, you
yeah,
know,
how come you're
eventually?
How come you're not doing conventions, Dustin?
Yeah,
no, I
did. Do
I've
them.
Done. I did. I was just at Comic-Con promoting Killer Tomatoes, and then I do the San Fernando Valley convention almost every time. I just haven't mm-hmm. the last 2 times because we've literally been filming on that
right.
day. Mm-hmm.
So you're still involved with the Killer Tomatoes movie?
Yes, we're currently filming things.
Yeah. Oh, you're filming it as we speak.
Yeah, we started at Comic-Con. I have to still be super careful about what I say, but. Yes, it's known that I film things. It's been published, so whatever.
Oh, because we were talking. I was talking with your manager about the Killer Tomatoes. There was a return to Killer Tomatoes.
Yeah, yeah.
With George Clooney, but you're gonna ignore that.
No. We're basically going. It's like a reboot, and so it kind of takes everything into account. But it's mostly focused on return in the original.
Okay. Now has tomato technology improved since the original?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're gonna have CGI tomatoes, or
we have. There's I have a 5x5 tomato in my closet right now.
Do oh, wow. you?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah, you got
that
chased
one.
By it.
Yeah.
yeah.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
yep.
Yeah, so
we can neither confirm nor deny, but
yeah. So there's physical and there's CGI, of course. There's but the CGI is minimized. It's done in a way for like transitions.
Right.
You know, and because there's some things like you know where it's like taking over the city, we're not going to have it.
Right.
Real giant tomatoes.
Right.
Yeah.
So what is about the '80s that We're all
were just badass.
Yeah, I mean,
they were badass.
That's all there is to it.
Great music.
Everything else sucks.
It was a defining decade. I mean, the style, the culture.
Because last time you were here, we were saying 90s was the last real.
90s is the last true decade.
Real decade. Yep. But we all go back to the 80s.
But also with the 80s, I mean,
that was like the pioneer of it. That's why.
We didn't have like all the CGI stuff and all this politically correct things. And people worked their asses off to make like this guy 5-minute scene. Now people are just on their computers like this.
Well, and technology had just begun, but it was at a minimum. Right. So humanity was just starting to shift, where it was just like radios and cassette tapes, and we're hip in the 80s.
Right.
So it was still innocent right before it transitioned in the late 90s.
Right.
Yeah, like Class of Nukem High, all those fun movies.
Yeah.
But I mean, you got to say, probably some of the greatest horror movies right around the late 80s, late 70s, early 80s.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You got a Halloween, Friday the 13th.
Yeah, Nightmare in Elm Street.
Nightmare in Elm Street, I was going to mention.
Like, that they're still making sequels and remakes to.
Right. Well, that's all they're doing now.
Strangeland, do you remember that movie?
I did a documentary recently, and we covered that movie.
That's awesome.
Yeah, direct to video.
Strangeland, which
D. Snyder, yeah.
No,
they're still supposedly going to make a sequel.
I've been hearing that for the past like 6 years. I'm like, come on, D.
I've been mentioning this. I mentioned this on another show. Very underrated and very much an influence on Saw.
Oh yeah, it was. Oh. It was
if there's no Strangeland, there's no Saw.
And the soundtrack was amazing.
I had the soundtrack before I had the movie.
Oh yeah, me
Marilyn
too.
Marilyn Manson. And
yeah.
I think that's what the '80s were good too. When it comes to like the soundtracks of films,
that was a big part of it.
Yeah, that was like the main staple behind them. Nowadays, like you said, they just kind of just hit the button real quick on the computer. It's like, done.
Well, in all the big movies that come out, it's literally just the biggest pop song at the time.
Yeah,
right, exactly.
It's nothing that has
heart to it.
Yeah, or a resonance that's going to be timeless.
Right. Exactly. Although I remember the Strangeland VHS, probably the scariest thing was after the movie, they played a bunch of videos that were on the soundtrack, and D. Snyder's like, yeah, Kid Rock. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, right.
like this was before he was big. And, speaking of music, and we mentioned this last time, but because if you didn't like Dustin enough already.
I love you.
Thank you. He's so done awesome videos for KMFDM, Thrill Kill Cult, Velvet Acid Cry.
I saw Thrill Kill Cult a couple months ago.
Oh, where at? In San Diego? Or
no,
LA?
It was somewhere downtown. We took an Uber. I don't know.
Now you're telling me.
I've done two music videos for him, actually.
Right.
That's awesome.
See, he got into with Metropolis Records and. Yeah.
And Velvet Acid Cry, Lords of Acid.
Lords of Acid was the first one, right?
Wow.
Yeah, Velvet Acid Cry was the first mainstream one, and then Lords of Acid was the second, and then it's all you have been after that.
Oh, that's amazing.
Tell me about the one we just did. Or can you?
Yeah, Exhumed, the video for Exhumed. That was so cool. Okay, so they approached me about doing this video. They're like, the name of the album's called Horror. So we want to do a video that's like an 80s slasher movie, like VHS, full screen. So Eric and Julie Philpott play like this couple in tent having sex, doggy style.
Okay.
Of course.
Yeah.
And
well, it's one of your movies.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. And then so Eric's, of course, murdered. And then Julie, I've actually never shot something like this. Julie is chased through the woods topless, but covered in blood. Because the song is called Naked Screaming and Covered in Blood. So she's running around the woods being chased by a maniac, which is also the band's mascot. They have this mascot that has like a chainsaw that's on the album cover. Mm-hmm. So he was in the video chasing her as the killer. And then it's intercut with footage we shot in a studio in Burbank of the band like performing against a green screen that had like TV static. So it's like you're watching this crazy video.
Right.
And so it's all stylized. I had like VHS tracking and stuff. And then we did like a Headbangers Ball style intro with the band.
Nice.
Oh, that's great.
So it's like, and they did an intro for every single song on the album. So they've been releasing the songs individually as like these little Headbanger Ball intros. It's so fucking cool.
Is this on YouTube?
Yeah. And the box set of the album comes in a VCR-shaped box that comes with a VHS and a cassette tape and all this cool shit.
Oh, that's great.
That's amazing.
That's great.
It was so much fun.
So besides Dustin's movies, which sounds like fun.
They are very fun.
What was the role you've been most proud of or the one that you had this the most fun with?
Axe Grinder was like one of the best ones. Another one I did was with Investigation Discovery. It actually aired back in April.
Okay.
And it was one of the true crime recreation shows.
Yeah, I can see you being on a lot of those.
It was actually a cop.
Yeah.
In Alaska.
Oh, okay.
It was called The Faces of Evil, and the episode was called Seeds of Death.
Oh, yeah, that's the one I had to get for you. I remember.
Yeah. And it was a police officer that was taking advantage of the local Eskimo Native women up there. And basically using his badge to tell him, you're not going to do a thing. And the whole time I was just playing incognito and that I didn't do it and so on and so forth. But in the end, they ended up finding out through forensics and such that I did do it.
Right.
So that one was really nice.
So they have, do they have a whole interrogation scene and everything?
No, it was just kind of like those, you know, cut scenes or whatever. And then, of course, it shows like the real investigators still in their spiel about it.
Right.
And then I did one for...
And it would just cut to your face. You're like, I didn't know.
Playing in the cell, like throwing a ball up or whatever. You know, driving in. Like, there was a scene where we had to, like, drive, and I had to pretend to hit the girl in the face because that's what he did. He murdered her.
Yeah.
In the woods.
Hi. Hey, we're on live. I just randomly decided to go live during this interview. Don't mind me.
Hello.
So how did you break into the acting business? Because I want to get Hannah into these movies. How do you break into the acting business?
I actually found a manager that's out by me. He's, like, one of the only managers that are out there.
Okay.
And he actually teaches some classes as well. So I started taking his classes and... has his own agency, so he kind of took me under his wing, and I started to kind of just slowly but surely get into, you know, method acting, memorization, scene, script analysis kind of stuff, and just slowly but surely just kept growing and growing and growing, and honestly, I'm here I am today.
There you go, on the Dark Mark show.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I mean...
No, this is fun.
This is totally fun. Like, who gets to go into L.A. at 8 o'clock at night and...
And just shoot the shit.
Yeah, just shoot the shit all day. These are the fun ones.
And then when you're in Dustin, every movie has L.A. in the title for some reason.
Yep.
Just kind of randomly happened. Because you were, L.A. Connection. Uh-huh. Los Angeles Connection, Los Angeles Shark Attack.
Oh, wait, what's L.A. Connection? What's that?
That was, okay, so that was an anthology segment that we did for Awesomely Righteous and Radical by Shane Ryan. And so it was this guy, Raymond Williams, was the lead in it.
Shout out to Raymond. Big Raymond.
So he comes home after a day of work, and this is, of course, set in the 80s. So we had like stock footage of like 80s traffic and all this really cool
Sherry
stuff.
Sherry looks fantastic.
Yeah. And so his wife, who's played by Sherry Davis, she comes home. She's like brutally attacked, raped, and killed by Eric and Mike Ferguson. And so Raymond.
we both had to rape her.
It was over drugs, it was over cocaine.
Seems to be a lot of typecasting here.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
He does it good. So then he does that, and then Raymond comes home, finds his wife dead, so of course he's going to get revenge. So he goes, we do this whole like montage where he's like training and fighting and everything, and he goes and tracks the guys down and ends up, you know, killing him after this really elaborate fight scene, which is really cool because they kind of got it orchestrated, actually.
Right.
So I swallowed flour.
So they choreographed it, and.
Yeah.
I swallowed flour. Because
he had his mouth open.
I had my mouth open.
The fake cocaine.
Right.
Yeah, so he takes a pile of flour on the throws cocaine at you.
Swept
it up to
the pointed in his face, and then he takes the flour, the cocaine, and just picks up and like throws it at me, and my dumb ass just right when he throws it in my face.
I would think that'd be the worst.
It was very real when I'm laying there, like when he pretends to hit me, because he throws it in my face, hits me, and then I'm against the wall, and all of a sudden, like when he's kind of like looking at me, and I'm literally like. Just fall over,
but he went down.
I literally went down.
So we were able to still use the shot.
Yeah,
and then he's learning.
Then they yelled cut, and I'm like still laying there. He doesn't. Oh my god, are you okay? Fuck, someone call 911. I'm good.
In a real fight, if you threw cocaine at somebody, that's not going to stop them.
No, it's going to
make them go faster.
Yes, I'm ready.
Invincible.
But flour, that's another thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're okay.
I'm good.
Because, you know,
you've taken some hits already in a few of my movies.
Flour, the axe to my own leg.
Yeah. He's got scars. He's got. He's medically unclear to be.
Oh, and you squirted the blood in Julie's eye.
Oh, well, because the pump wasn't working right.
Oh my god!
I had a leak. It was one of those like ones that you use to like spray weeds, you know, at your yard.
Yeah.
We're trying to pump the damn thing. Dustin tried figuring it out. Jeremy tried figuring it out.
We have this whole crew of people just doing stupid.
And then one of the guys from Exhumed actually figured it out. He's like, "Oh, you guys."
I do this all the time on stage.
Yeah, so he's like twisting the little thing, whatever, and then he finds okay, and then. Kind of squirts you. Okay, good. It's ready to go. So then it was going.
No. I'm like, okay, Eric, whatever you do, don't squirt her in the eye. Because she's like, just don't squirt my eye and I'll be fine.
So I did a little shot.
Sure people have told you that before.
Oh, yeah. Mark.
Just my wife now.
I'm sure.
But we did one take and it like just kind of hit her in the chest. With just like, oh, no, we got to do a better one. So I'm like, okay. And he goes, kind of raise up. So I just raised it up a little bit, the hose.
And there's one strong pump.
I'm like, is that cool? Where he goes, yeah, he should be fine. And he goes, just give it, you know, one, okay. And in surreal action, I just went, whack. And it
did
just,
you see her go?
It cracked her so deep.
Right in the eye.
It looked like a dude just finished right in her eye. Just like, here it comes, honey.
Aim for the eye, yeah.
Ready, aim, fire.
And that was like basically, well, it wasn't the first shot, but it was one of the first shots.
Yeah.
So it sucked because then she had to like do all the rest of her scenes with like one eye closed, yeah, like, crusted with blood, you know. And just,
yeah, you had to
like,
get her an eye patch.
But she was such a trooper. The whole time, yeah, I'm just like, should we flush your eye? Are you okay? She's like, no, let's just keep going. I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah. And her eye looked like it was bloodshot too.
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
It
was this but of course, red. she was amazing at it.
You know? Yeah, right. Total trooper.
Right. Yeah. Bloodshot, yeah, and bloodshot.
Uh huh.
Bloodshot. Shot,
yeah.
Blood.
So
without the cum shot.
Right. Exactly. Oh, so, well, I was going to ask you something about something really scary.
Okay.
Have you heard his rapping?
Ha, yes. Ha, very funny, guys.
Actually, I like his because it reminds me. I told him when I was riding in his car, we're headed to the spot to go film.
Yeah.
I was like, Dustin, is this yours? He goes, yeah. I'm all, it sounds like nostalgic, like 80s, like the good old rap. No, he goes, that's what I was trying to
I
do.
I figured it would be. I figured you would be doing the old school Run DMC.
Yeah,
I
haven't like, gotten yeah, it, you know. But I can, yes, actually understand it. I'm like, I could dig this.
Right. So, Dirty D is his rap name.
MC Dirty D.
Yeah, so last time we talked about your first music video where you had a
Party Planet?
Yeah, because you had a guy and a girl.
Oh,
and,
Midnight Dancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Since February,
it's changed since then.
Yeah, since February, have you released what music have you released? And
okay, so
where can we find this?
That video, Midnight Dancer, was like my transition in rap styles because when I first started out, it was like breakdance music. I was the vocalist. It was vocoder style completely. So it was like this German producer, right, E-Rocker, did the beats, and then I did vocals over it. And then I moved to California, and the first EP was Hollywood Rock. Because inspired, yeah, by moving out here, and Midnight, yeah, Dancer was on that, and so it was me going solo. So it was still the same style, but I was doing it kind of like alone.
Right.
And we put that video out on For Show magazine, and it had a very extreme reaction.
Right.
Because it's a hip hop audience, and right, it was just like white show with like dudes on it, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. And he did a video where he had girls and guys.
Yeah.
So it was kind of
I had like
pansexual sort of
like
thing.
I'm in a limo, and there's like Donna, who's like the hot chick, and then, right, I also had Ryan Raspberry, who's like the hot guy.
Right.
And I had my arms around both of them throughout the, nice, whole video. So, of course, there's all these horrible comments. And so I did it on purpose because I wanted the video to get attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so after that, I kind of went more hardcore with the rapping, actually. And so now it's just, like, straight-up rap, more inspired by, like, the Instagram stuff that's popular now. Like, Bad, mm-hmm, Baby is, like, my jam. I love Bad Baby.
Okay.
What was the one we did at Lanfa?
Yeah, and so he was...
Oh, you rap too, Larry?
No, he was
my bodyguard.
Yeah, me and Raymond actually like, okay, kind of tried to do a little ensemble because they asked
whole,
him
like,
to do it.
Performance, yeah, at the Lanfa where I won... Best director for Moon of the Blood Beast.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome.
So I did my first live performance as Dirty D there, and it was Facts, which was the single off the last album. And so Eric and...
Facts? Like
Facts
Machine?
Like it's a fact. Like F-A-C-T.
Fact. Oh, okay. Fact.
The
okay.
Facts. The Facts.
I thought you were really going 80s and going with a Fax Machine. But
Fax Machine.
Fact.
No, it wasn't. So they played my... I came up to like a podium, yeah, and I gave a little speech about how I'm going to dish out my facts. And they're just like standing there with their arms crossed, you know, like with sunglasses while I rap.
And they unfolded.
It was very Marilyn Manson, Antichrist Superstar.
Awesome album.
And then they unfolded their arms, took their sunglasses off, and really liked it, right?
And then they stripped.
Okay, good.
And then they paid me money to put my clothes back
on.
Oh,
will you stop it, please?
You know, and it was like a 2-minute song, you know. So after that, yeah, we just left. It was kind of interesting, actually.
That's like the prayers performance.
Everybody liked it.
The big bodyguard in the middle.
It had a very it was cool because I was really nervous about doing it because it's a multicultural audience, you know. There's a lot of older people. I wasn't sure because I was talking to my manager Joe about it. I'm like, oh my god, all my songs have swear words in it.
Right.
I was like, I don't want to perform anything with swear words. I don't want to offend people. I feel like super bad. So I ended up by default.
Even though you won an award for a horror movie.
Yeah, and that was sort of my argument. I was like, they're watching like these R-rated movies, and so I ended up deciding on Facts because I was like, well, it's the new single, and I think it only had bitch in it. And I was just like, can I say bitch? And so like they got that passed. And so I was so nervous, and I had actually been rehearsing a version of it where I was self-censoring, where I wouldn't say bitch. I said witch instead.
Okay.
And so I was going to kind of feel it out when I was going to do performance, which version I was going to go with. And I ended up doing the bitch version. And then it was so funny because I do that, and then everybody like was all into it and like clapping and shit. And we like, as we
it
were like,
good.
Stood up and applauded and shit. And then when I left, people were stopping me outside. They're like, I wasn't expecting that. That was super cool. And I'm just like, thanks. Are you sure?
So is there more live Dirty D on the way?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. For the next album.
Let me know. When you rap live, I want to be there.
I'll be there too.
And I do it totally live. You know, a lot of people rap over the vocals.
Yeah, they
was strictly instrumental, so.
It should be the cover of your album is like you stand there and me and Raymond on the side.
I know, right?
That'd be so
cool. I have to put like a little image in the album.
Yeah.
Because that's the worst one, when the record's playing and they're rapping at the same time.
I know. And that's what everybody does now. Because that was sort of what originally my plan was. And I was like, if I do that, I'll be less stressed out because I know the song. I have the song memorized. But right. There's a big difference between knowing the words to sing along and actually singing it without the words there.
Sure, sure.
And I was like, you know, screw that. If I'm going to do this, this could end up being my only live performance. I don't want to think I wussed out. So I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to practice it.
And he did good, too. You. He went balls to the wall. Like,
I
could have
had a single
hit.
Mess up. I was so proud of myself.
Yep. Didn't mess up or nothing. It was good.
Yeah.
And how'd you feel on stage?
I hadn't been up on stage in a while.
Yeah.
When I'm in front of a camera, that's one thing. I can just ignore it. Like, right. It's another person. You know what I mean? Like, as if you're standing there. But right. When I'm in front of a stage with, like, people, I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah. even though he's the star and you're just kind of background. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to, because I just stand there, like, look tough. And it's like, I'm, like, sitting there, like, kind of half shaking, whatever. I'm like, what's wrong with me?
Really? Because I would imagine as a prison guard, you'd have to really just. You have to give off that I'm tough.
Yeah, kind of
the whole time.
Pretty much. Yeah. So,
but in front of a bunch of people that are there for.
But they're different. You know what I mean? Yeah. The stage is just a bunch of regular folks. You know, over there it's like inmates where I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, killers, murderers, rapists,
thieves, whatever.
But anyway, I can't believe how fast this hour has gone by. We're not quite there yet, but I just.
We're supposed to make it 2 hours tonight, Mark.
I know. You want to hang out with these guys for 2 hours, and I would love to too. But no, I wanted to say, what was your best Halloween costume when you were a kid?
Oh, good question.
And Godzilla. I was in the local paper for it.
Aww. Oh, wow.
Because my mom handmade the costume.
Oh, that's
how
so cute.
How
old were you?
Like 5. It was in Crete, Nebraska. Some small town, little parade.
You made the paper in Crete, Nebraska?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
It was my first publication.
I know. First of many. Right. Who would have known?
There's a picture on Facebook of it somewhere I took. Yeah.
Really?
Of the paper, yeah, because my mom saved it. So
that's nice. Yeah. That's cute. Well, what are you going to be following this year?
It's so funny, of all things, because like every year it's always for me when it was like completely last minute things.
Yeah, me too.
I don't have any idea what I'm going to do this year, but I think it wasn't last year, but the year before I was a Double Dare contestant.
Oh, wow.
So I had like the Double Dare shirt.
You're all slimed?
Like, thing on my hat. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, great. So it'll probably just be something goofy like that.
Okay. And what about you, Eric? What was the best Halloween costume when you were a kid?
They made like this really super, it was like a flat but wide pumpkin.
So wow.
Yeah, I was like 5 years old. And then it came with like these orange like stockings or nylons, whatever. You like literally like rolled up these like laugh it up, fucker. Yeah.
No, but he's getting ideas for the next movie. Yeah.
But I wrapped them up and then had like these little orange shoes, whatever, and I was just this super wide
LA pumpkin man.
Yeah, with like the where you pull the top off the pumpkin, like that was the hat. Oh. Everywhere I went, oh he's cool. So cute. Fuck you.
How old were you?
I was like 5.
Okay. And what are you going to be this year?
A pumpkin. I know, right? I'm not too sure.
If he cast you as a pumpkin in the movie, you would do it, right?
Fuck yeah. Are you kidding me?
I see the wheels turning.
They're always turning.
Pumpkin man.
I've never done
LA Pumpkin Man.
I've never done a Punisher thing before. So I was going
to
have
the hat, yeah.
I could like slick the hair back and see about maybe have the wife paint my face like white with the skull, you know what I mean? Because
you got the skull shirt and you got the.
I got the tactical vest and all that bullshit. Okay, I use at home for cop roles and stuff. So figured one. Maybe why not?
Yeah, why not? Yeah. What about you, Hannah? What was the best costume you had when you were a kid?
Unfortunately, I didn't have a hands on mother, so I can't answer that question.
Oh.
So
my mother painted me green and as the Incredible Hulk 1 year.
Yeah. There you go.
It was just great. And
you weren't He-Man once? I was He-Man once, I'm pretty sure.
You was He-Man? I could see that.
I was a die.
I was really into him, apparently.
A die, like a roll of dice?
Yeah. We were that poor. We took a box and just cut a freaking hole in and, you know, 1, 5, 6, whatever, dots or whatever.
That's pretty creative. Yeah. And speaking of that, before we go, I didn't even mention this. Now, you're involved in the new Puppet Master movie.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're not directing it, but you're...
No. Okay, so originally when I was hired on, the only position left was as a PA. So I was like, fuck yeah, I'll take it. And I ended up acting in it.
Oh, okay.
I'm technically like two different characters because I had to be I started out as a stand-in. There's what's his name? Noel Scott.
Jason Scott.
Yeah,
he's been on the show before, a friend of us.
Oh, cool. Scott. Mm-hmm. So I was the stand-in for his hand because he is attacked by a puppet and it's pierced through his blade. The puppet pierces through his hand and he like swings it around as a slam and stuff. Yeah. So he wasn't there for that. So my hand was that. But then we did a scene later in the newsroom and they needed me to be one of the extras. I ended up having 3 shots on camera where I'm like right there in the middle. Mm-hmm.
Wow! And he's so excited that he's in the Puppet Master movie.
Oh my god!
And he was excited too.
What?
Are you as excited? I've never seen Puppet Master. I've never seen any of them.
Really?
What?
I grew up.
I told you.
I'm in that same boat. I got the same hell from him.
Oh, my God. Because Noel reached out to him. He's like, dude, they're casting for the new Puppet Master. He's like, dude, puppets aren't really my thing. And he told me, he said,
no, I would be
Puppet
in the movie.
Master is, you don't even know what you're talking about, dude.
I don't, yeah. I was like,
I've heard of it. I would be in it if they offered it to me, but.
It was a cop
movies
role
in the series. So, huh? Yeah, and there's like 13 of them in the series. Well, I know. Was like an 89 or something. So.
No, I remember I was in the supermarket like 5 years ago, and a guy, and you know, they had the red box, and the guy's like, they're up to Puppet Master 10 now, but I guess now it's 13. Yeah. And I know the puppet's name was Blade, which is weird.
Yeah, this one, they're doing like spinoffs where they're origin stories. And so the main puppet in the whole series is Blade. It's like everyone's favorite. So this is Blade's origin story. And so it's interesting. It's a period piece. It's filmed, it takes place in Germany in 1944.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
So that was really cool. Like all the sets and the costumes and everything.
So World War II. Nice. World War II puppets.
In suits.
Yeah.
That it's all coming full circle now. Now we know
why. Everyone was asking that, like, why are you guys dressed all weird? It's 1944.
You know what's to people dressed weird today, okay?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, where does the time go, Hannah? Have you had fun with these guys?
I have had so much fun. I have to say, out of all the shows, it's my favorite show.
This is your favorite show of all time?
My favorite show of all time of the year and a half. I've been doing this with you.
Oh, wow.
So thank you.
Even when the guy ate the light bulb.
Even, I'm sorry, I love you guys. I love you. I love Joe. I love Dean.
You're throwing
her
under the bus now.
This
Jamie,
my kind
better
of people.
Than everybody.
Okay, because we're gonna have Halloween hijinks all year round. Next week we got Carl Crew from Blood Diner. I know you've seen that.
Yeah, of course.
I've seen that.
And The Secret Life of Jeffrey Dahmer. You probably saw that too.
Mm-hmm. He's,
and he was the owner of the CIA. He's coming in here. And Joey Gaynor, who was a very funny comic, and he was in Elvira's Greatest Hits, singing Frank Sinatra. Doing the Adams Family, he's going to do that next week.
Elvira sold me makeup at Monsterpalooze, and I didn't even know it was her until it came out that she was doing that just to be cute. I have my purple glitter from her at the Ben Nye stand,
You met Cassandra Peterson, you didn't even know.
Like, girl, how could why'd you even tell us that?
I know her out of the makeup, too. I would have recognized her right off the bat.
She was...
Beautiful.
She's beautiful, mm-hmm.
But anyway, we've got Mortis and Lillian coming in a couple weeks.
Oh, cool. I haven't seen them in a minute.
See how excited she got from that?
You're trying to get her more excited than us. Stop it.
And then, and then we're going to have Cleet Hall and Irene and Zara coming in. But before we go, what movies do you have? Because your IMDb, it looks like it just started like in 2015, but it's filling up quick.
Yeah, it's starting to fill up quick. I actually just got onto a film. It's called Bums.
Okay.
It's supposed to be starting the end of this month or so. It's gone for a couple months. I believe that's actually a military role. Go figure.
Okay. Bums?
Bums, yeah. And I believe it's kind of touching on like the homelessness here in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty much all I want to really say right now about it because I don't know too much more.
Okay.
But that's coming up. Hopefully some more things here with Dustin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as things go, things go.
Yeah, see, this is like, like Scorsese, De Niro, actor-director combinations,
That's how I roll.
Tarantino, Samuel Jackson,
Sure, and, I'll take it.
Yeah. So I think he's found his muse. Now, how do people get a hold of you social media-wise?
You can look me up. I'm just my name, Eric Rungrover, on Facebook. IMDb, you can search me out there, too. Instagram.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance yet because I'm not really too big on social media, so I'm not really on Twitter.
Which I'm always giving them crap about.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to let you handle it for me.
Yeah,
handle it. Joe?
Joe. Yeah. Joe, you do his Twitter for him, will you?
Yeah.
Joe would be great.
Joe's his manager. Joe Williams right there.
What's a Twitter?
Yeah. But if I handle his MySpace account first, if you can handle that. And then we can we'll go to Friendster, and then we'll get to we'll get to Twitter.
What is that?
What?
You don't remember Friendster?
No.
Friendster was like
short-lived.
Right in between MySpace and Facebook.
Yep.
Friendster
and it went out, dude. Yeah. It was in and out.
Wow. Like people went from MySpace to Friendster, and then they went right to Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And some people just went from MySpace to Facebook.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I did. MySpace to Facebook. Right. It was like the adult thing to do. Like the children still use MySpace.
Yeah.
The adults went to Facebook.
Yeah, and then now everybody's on Facebook except for my father. But that's a whole different story.
Right.
Anyway, Dustin, what are the 10 movies you got coming out in the next couple months, and how do people get a hold of you?
Okay. So direct-to-video premieres October 12th on the Monster Channel. Aliens in L.A. comes out in November. We have Meowhook Massacre 6 we're filming in November. We have Sicko the Scarecrow we're filming in February.
Ooh.
Axe Grinder 2 drops in like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. L.A. Shark Attack we're premiering in November. I think that's all of them for right now.
And you're already prepping LA Shark Attack 2 and Robo Woman 2. And
Robo Woman 2 we're prepping. And we already announced there's going to be Mihawk Massacre 7 and 8, and that's where we're ending the series.
Oh, because I thought Mihawk 5 was on.
I know. You know how it is.
There's only so many hooks to go around.
It was interesting because the series has only gotten more and more popular with each one. So by the time Part 5 came out, everyone was just like, oh my God, you have to do Part 6. So right. Fine, we'll cap it off a date, but that's it. No more after 8. Because right. 8, Friday 13th, 8 is like last Friday 13th. So right. It's kind of going to be our thing. It'll be a go to 8.
But 9. then there was Jason Goes to Hell.
Which,
Jason
and it
X.
started to go downhill. It and went
Freddy
back down the other way on the hill.
Freddy versus Jason.
And I don't want that. I don't want Mihawk, because there's some, we won't name names, can't blood. Series that go a little too far and suck. And I don't really want to do that with Mihawk. Right. I mean, it's Mihawk Massacre, yes, but I still want to have, like, I want them to be good so people will actually want to watch them. So.
And just between me and you, is there any chance Hannah could be massacred by a Mihawk movie?
Well, I was already kind of, you know, speaking over the airways, she'll be in something.
Okay, all right. And Hannah?
Yes.
If anybody, and you're Dustin Ferguson on everything, or?
Yeah, I'm really spend most of my time on my Facebook, so just Dustin Ferguson on Facebook.
Right. And
but he gives me shit for not having a Twitter, though.
Right. So do you have a Twitter?
No.
No, you don't have a Twitter?
No, okay. I give him shit because of his friend count. I'm like, you need to get your friend count up so people see your shit.
That's true. Right. That's right. That's true.
I mean,
my IG's bigger than yours, so.
He's like, I don't want to have a bunch of friends. I'm like, I don't care.
My IG's bigger than yours.
Probably.
Oh, really?
I'm terrible at IG. And rap stuff is only good on IG. Like, people on Facebook, like, I get like 5 likes for my rap videos on Facebook. But on Instagram, I get like 300.
Okay.
In the same amount of time.
So do you have a separate Dirty D? And
yeah, I'm the only Dirty D on Instagram.
That's right. I follow both of your accounts.
Oh, do you?
I do.
Crazy. Well, I'm going to follow them today. Tonight.
Follow my
but yes.
Don't forget to.
Yeah, he needs friends, so follow him.
Yeah, well, I follow friends. So follow me.
No, I think she just said she's going to follow his accounts, but you're going to follow Eric, too, right?
Yeah. I mean, obviously.
And, of course, if you want to follow her, all casting directors that want to kill her off in a movie.
There's only one of me, Hail Hannah Bach, B-A-K-K.
666.
Yeah.
On Got Instagram.
It. I almost forgot my 666.
Yeah, don't That's forget important. The 666. And I am Goth Comedian on all social media. And everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.